Good morning, church. Good to have you all with us today, and those that are visiting, we're glad that you're able to share with us today as well, and those online, it's always good to have you with us. Those that have been away that are back, that's good too, and so we're just glad to, for everybody being here today. We are finishing out after 66 lessons, so over about a year and a half's time of at the pulpit on Sunday mornings. Our sermons have been just taken out of different books throughout the Bible, and we are finishing up in 2 Chronicles this morning, in the book of 2 Chronicles. And so, with no doubt, the longest series I've ever preached, 66 lessons. Probably won't have another one like that for quite a while. I was asked yesterday if I was going to just grab the concordance and start preaching through the concordance, but we're not going to do that. Anyway, so 2 Chronicles, we're going to, this morning in time when we get there, the main thrust of our lesson, there's many things that takes place in the book of 2 Chronicles, but the main thing we're going to be looking at here is of a young man by the name of Josiah, and we'll get to him in just a little bit. But with this lesson, as we said, we're going to study about this boy who became king. Usually one chapel service throughout the school year, I'll speak about Josiah. It's a good lesson for kids. But you know, as I put this lesson together, it was a reminder that it's not just a good lesson for kids, because kids grow up and they become older kids, right? And then adults and even old folks. And we're going to take a look at some of the things that took place through the course of Josiah's life. And it seems like the main thing that we point out is that he was 8 years old when he became king. And then that's about all that we usually hear about him. And so there was much more to his life than just that, and we're going to hopefully share some of those things with you today. So as we share, there's going to be lessons for the young, lessons for the teenagers, lessons for the young adults, and lessons for those that get older. So if the point that we're speaking on isn't to you directly at this moment, hold on, we'll get there. Because it will finish out. And I just thought that was a good way to finish out the study of all the different books of the Bible, but it's talking about King Josiah. Anyway, so as a child, we all need guidance in important decisions. Would we agree with that? As a child, when we were children, we all needed help with important decisions. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Who do we have in here that's 8 years old? Hey, right here? Do you think you would want to be made queen? Queen of America? No, maybe she's like, oh, I don't know, maybe. Right? So 8 years old, that's pretty young, right? Isaiah, you're about eight. Are you eight? Yeah. Will, you're eight. Yeah, we got some more eight-year-olds over here. Okay, good, good. And so that's pretty young to be king of a nation, isn't it? Right? And but he was made king. Josiah's dad's name was Ammon. Ammon was the king who was assassinated by his own servants. What? Oh, yeah, that's not as good as you might think. And he was assassinated at the age of 24. So I know some of you, and I know the way you think, you're automatically doing some math. Right? Okay. So yes, this means that Ammon became the father of Josiah when he was 16 years old. Ammon was the son of Manasseh. Have we heard about Manasseh? Yes, this is the king Manasseh that was hauled off to captivity because he was wicked and idolatrous. But he repented and returned to rule in Judah. For the first 8 years of Josiah's reign, he was guided by his mother, Jedidah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Hilkiah, the high priest at that time. Because of Josiah's faithful guidance, not necessarily his faithfulness, but the faithfulness of those that guided him, and by those around him, God made him a promise. And we're going to read this promise in just a moment, and to us it's not going to seem like that big of a deal, but you got to understand being a king in Israel and what it meant, because not every king was given this promise. But much likely, much like the early childhood, if we would spin to the New Testament, of the great evangelist Timothy, he was raised and nurtured and instructed by his mother and his grandmother before he could make decisions on his own. Timothy, young Timothy, the preacher, didn't just go out and start preaching. There was some guidance and some instruction that took place along the way. And as there's no doubt it takes love, it takes dedication, it takes faithfulness to bring up children that'll serve the Lord. There's no one that ever, you know, has a child that raises up and is what they should be and in the ways that, and they'll, well, it just happened on accident. It doesn't happen on accident. There's a deliberate effort put in there by somebody. I've heard parents say before, well, you know, I've never did a thing. Yeah, I know. Right? But somebody had an impact on those kids. Do we impact our young ones around us in good ways, or do we impact them in bad ways? I heard someone once say that we are all examples in our life. It just depends if you're a good one or if you're a bad one. Because of Josiah's upbringing, he was given a promise by God, and this verse won't be on the screen, but just pay attention to it. 2 Kings 22:20 says, "Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring on this place." So they brought back the word to the king. Now this is a young king being told this message that God's going to let him, when he dies, sleep with his fathers. And that's, remember as we talked last week, how, you know, certain words don't mean certain things. Sleep doesn't mean sleep. Sleep means dead. Okay? So that when they died, they got to go and they were buried with the other kings. They got to be buried, or at least there was a special place for them. This may not seem like much, but to a king, this is a great honor to know that you will be buried with him. Because there were some kings, and even in the family lineage here of Josiah, that weren't buried with the other kings. And at the young age of 8, Josiah was being prepared for the years to come. And when he was 16 years old, King Josiah was able to make a decision on his own. So we pointed out some 8-year-olds this morning. So if you're 16 years old right now, raise your hand. Anyone? Taylor? Anyone else? Preston? There we go. He didn't want to, but his mom made him. Right? All right. And see, that's where that good guidance comes along. All right. But so you're 16 years old. You got to make a big decision in your life. And you know what? As teenagers, we make important decisions too. You make important decisions each and every day. I've heard some teenagers and even some adults say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and live my life, or even heard adults tell kids to just go ahead and live your life like you want to. There's always time to get it figured out. You're young. Do what you want to. Immediately, the story of Elisha comes to mind. Remember when after Elijah had went, departed, and Elisha's there, and the group of kids come out of the city, and they're like, hey, Baldy, they're calling him Baldy, you know, and the thing is, he probably shaved his head in honor of missing Elijah, but anyway, so they make fun of him, they holler at him, you know, hey, Baldy, you know, go up from, and he calls out the she-bears, right, out of the woods, and wipes out, as I brought some years ago, that youth gang, and just totally annihilates them. So much for living your life like you want and working it out later, right? Those bears had it in mind that there was no time to work it out later. So you need to live each and every day as the way that we should. They didn't have time to get it figured out. But let's take a look at this here when he was a teenager. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 3 through 7 says, "For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father David, and in the 12th year began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images." Now, what this means is the high places, this is the places of worship, where they would put the false gods, the graven images, and all those different things to worship. It says that they tore down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and in the incense altars that were high above them, they chopped them down. In the Asherim, they carved image, and the molten images he broke into pieces and ground to powder and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. Then he burned the bones of the priests of the altars and purged Judah and Jerusalem in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, even as far as Naphtali in their surrounding ruins. And he also tore down the altars and beat the Asherim and carved the images into powder and chopped down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. And then he returned to Jerusalem. And this is what we think of him. We think of him as this 8-year-old king. And then we think of him, and we'll get to this point here, when he's the one that during his reign they find the book of the law in the temple, which, oh man, imagine that, finding a Bible in church. As we see this, so if he was 8 years old when he took over as king, and then it was in his eighth year, how old is he when he does it, when he starts this? He's 16 years old. Okay, so he's 16 years old. Then it says in the 12th year of his reign. So how old is he then? 20, right? So he's 20 years old. So you got any 20-year-olds in here, right? 20-year-olds, you're making decisions. What we're seeing here is decisions that can affect not only you, but even those people around you, right? And this is exactly what's taken place in the life of Josiah. So first 8 years of his life, then when he becomes king for the first 8 years that he's ruling, he has people that are helping to guide him. That would be the teachers and the Sunday school teachers and maybe family, as we saw his mom helping with the situation and raising him up and training him up so that he can be what he needs to be, so that when the opportunity comes for him to start making decisions, because we need to remember, how old was his dad when his dad was in charge and had him as his son? 16 years old, right? And so we say, here he is, 16 years old, and he's got to make some decisions. And he has to make a decision in his life. And if you're sitting here today and you're 16 years old, there's decisions that you need to make as well. And his was, I'm going to follow what the Lord said. His is, I'm going to read the book of the law, and we're going to do what he says, what it says. And so as he went through there and he started to notice, you know, we can go through the Ten Commandments, and it doesn't take us long to know that thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so as he looked around in the temple and all the different high places that they had put all throughout, not just Jerusalem, but all throughout the land of Israel, he realized, boy, we have really stepped away from what God wants. We've got all these other things, but we need to get our focus again. So teenagers can make important decisions, and you do make important decisions. As young adults, we still make important decisions. Josiah is still a youth when we find him as a 26-year-old. How many in here are 26? Right, so you got some 26-year-olds that have to make some decisions, and you make important decisions as well. 2 Chronicles 34, 14 through 21. "And when they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses." Do you find it interesting that they had no problem of taking the offering every week, but they didn't find the word of God in the church building? Doesn't that interest you, that, you know, they, what was their priorities? But anyway, There's also lessons that he gives them through this. Hilkiah responded, verse 15, and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan brought the book to the king and reported further word to the king, saying, everything that was entrusted to your servants, they are doing. And they have also emptied out the money which was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hands of the supervisors of the workmen. Moreover, Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah, the priest, gave me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abnon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book which have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord which is poured out on us because our fathers have not observed the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in the book. And this portion here goes right along with what Josh Burton taught in his Wednesday night class the other night, that if your dad was good, that is, you still have to be your own person. If your dad was bad, you still have to be your own person. And Josiah is saying, look at what our fathers did. Our fathers neglected God. Our fathers worshiped other gods. Our fathers didn't even give and use the money for the Lord as it was intended. So, well, just because that's the way it's been, should we continue in that? No. We need to do what's right and do what's according to the word of God. And so we talk of this. When how old was Josiah when he became king? 8 years old. How long did it take for him to figure out what his Bible meant? 18 years. 18 years. You know, we got little ones sitting here today that they may take their little Bible with them, and they got their books, and they do their lessons, and they have all their, and you know what? And they're being trained, and they're learning, and they're being guided in the ways that they ought to go. But there's going to become a point in time in their life where they're going to have to make an important decision to find the Word of God on their own, to be obedient to the Word of God on their own. And you can have those around you that help you to do that, but until you take it and make it your own, it means absolutely nothing. You can make important decisions. You will make important decisions as young adults. And so I want us to understand, Josiah didn't go looking for this book when he was 8 years old. Once he became king, he didn't say, well, where's the book of the law? We need to go. He had to be trained and think of that. And he come to this on his own. Even some 10 years after he started making decisions to tear down the bad things. And there's something within us that tells us, you know, I should or I shouldn't do this. And that's kind of where Josiah was when he was 16. You know what? We know the law. We shall have no graven images, and yet that's all we've got around here. And so he knows that that's not right, that it's wrong. And then so he goes on. And then when they find the book of the law, and he sees, oh my goodness, we are really, really drifted far from what the Lord wants for us to do. We need to pay attention. I will say this, never get so far from God's word that it becomes unrecognizable to you. Keep it close. Take it in. We're even told in scriptures to eat the word, to devour it, to digest it, to learn it, to love it, and to live it. Use the word of God to make your important decisions. And we see this, that as he continues to grow in the kingdom and growing the kingdom, that he grows in his knowledge of what God's word is telling him to do. And he continues to do that. And so what we need to understand, what I want for us to understand, I want for you to understand here today, that if you're a young person and we've hit from ages 8 to 26, we're just going to use that as a reference point today because that's what Josiah's age was, that as a young person, you can make commitments. As a young person, you can make commitments. And so many times we're like, well, I'll do that when I'm 18. You know, I've heard people say that before. When I'm 18, I get to make my own decisions. Then they turn 18 and they don't do that. when I become 21, or when I get out of the house, or whenever I do this, right? And then it's not so clear anymore to them. But as young people, you can make commitments, and you need to make commitments. Young people, you would do well to make commitments and then to keep them. We live in a world today where commitments are made all over the place and then they're broke just as quick. Make a commitment to be godly, young people. Make a commitment to Christ. Make a commitment to become a Christian. Make a commitment to your parents. Make a commitment to yourself. Make a commitment to your future spouse who you might not have even met yet. Josiah made a commitment and then he commanded. That's one of the cool things about being king. You can make a commitment to yourself and then have everybody else around you command them to make you help you keep it. All right, and that's what he did. The entire chapter 35 is about making a commitment and keeping your promise. We're going to just look at a few verses in chapter 35. But 2 Chronicles 35, 16 through 19 says, all the service of the Lord was prepared on that day to celebrate the Passover. They hadn't even been going to church. And I mean, we come to church on Sunday morning to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine coming together and then saying, eh, we're not going to do communion? That's what, with the Passover, they were failing to remember the Passover. Failing to remember that great sacrifice that had taken place when they were able to leave Egypt. So all the service of the Lord was prepared on that day to celebrate the Passover and to offer burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord according to the command of King Josiah. Thus the sons of Israel who were present celebrated the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And there had not been celebrated a Passover like that in Israel since the days of Samuel the prophet. Consider where we're at now. That's been a long time. That's been a long, long time. Nor had any of the kings of Israel celebrated such a Passover as Josiah did with the priests, the Levites, and all Judah and Israel who were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, this Passover was celebrated. It took Josiah 18 years after he became king for him to realize fully how he needed to keep his commitment to the Lord. And I don't know, we can't just put a number on it, 16 years old, 18 years old. You may become a Christian when you're 16, and then when it's 24, you really decide to take it serious. You may become a Christian when you're 20, and then when you're 32, you may decide to take it serious. You may become a Christian when you're 24 and decide when you're 24, I'm going to take it serious. What I'm saying is, take it serious. Take it serious. And make commitments and follow out those commitments. Keep your promises to God. Keep your commitment to Christ. Keep your word to your parents. Be faithful to yourself. Keep in mind the promises that you have made to your someday spouse. And I believe that the reason that adults do not keep their commitments today is because they are raised as children that they are not expected to keep their promises that they make. And we see it over and over again today that even parents don't hold their children responsible for the promises or the commitments that the children have made. Do you think that when he was 6 years old, that when he was 8 years old, that when he was 12 years old, that his mother, that the scribe, that the high priest, if he said something, especially as king, you got to be careful what you say. They're going to expect you to keep that. Well, it's not about being king. It's about us serving the king. And that's what he needed to learn. And we'd do well to learn the same thing today. But as we move forward as full-grown adults, we continue to make important decisions. We'll just use this. Josiah's life comes to his end. We'll get to here in just a moment. But when he's 39 years old, right? Sometimes that likes to be the number that sometimes ladies like to hold at. You know, is it 29 or 39 or, you know, 9 or, you know. But, and so he passes away here, I believe, when he's 39 years old. So what we're going to say then is for the rest of this sermon, we've looked at whether you're 8 years old or whether you're 16, whether you're 20, or whether you're 26. So we're just going to say then everybody then 39 and older, all right? That way we'll get everybody covered in this message today. 2 Chronicles 35, 20 through 27 says this, "And after all of this, when Josiah had set the temple in order, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to make war at Carchemish on the Euphrates. And Josiah went out to engage him. But Necho sent message to him, saying, 'What have you to do? What have we to do with each other, O king of Judah? I am not coming against you today, but against the house with which I am at war. And God has ordered me to hurry. Stop for your own sake from interfering with God who is with me, so that he will not destroy you.'" Now, so here's something. We got king of Judah, Josiah, who's supposed to be God's faithful people, and then he goes out to take battle with, and this is where Josiah let his pride, let his own thinking get in the way, but he decides when he sees the Egyptians coming that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to let them know who's in charge of this area. And Necho says to him, "I'm just letting you know, you need to step aside, Josiah. God has told me that this is my job. This is my responsibility to take care of this." Remember, we've talked about that before. Sometimes God uses ungodly people to carry out his destruction or his efforts. And what we need to remember is that God sends his message by whom he wishes. Just because we don't care for the individual who is preaching, just because we don't care for the individual that is teaching, just because we may not like them personally, that doesn't mean that the message that is being presented is not true and from God. Verse 22, "However, Josiah would not turn away from it, but he disguised himself in order to make war with him, nor did he listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, but came to make war on the plain of Megiddo." In the Old Testament, we see this as Megiddo. In the New Testament, we know it as what? If you're going to read it in your Greek, in your New Testament, Armageddon. There is more bloodshed that took place in this valley throughout world history than anywhere else. And that's why when we read about it at the end times, what we need to remember is that what it's wanting us to do is remember these battles. David fought here. We see Josiah fights here. We see that there are many other battles that take place all throughout history here. And that's why when John writes the book of Revelation and he makes reference to Megiddo or to Armageddon, he's not necessarily referencing a physical plot of land. What he's saying is this battle's going to top all of those. If we were talking about it today, we would say Gettysburg. And we'd know what we meant. That's what they would talk about, is Megiddo or Armageddon, or depending on your translation, Harmageddon. It's with an H. But it's all the same. And what I want to remind us from this is in this time it's a physical battle. Remember what we just got done studying several Wednesday nights ago in Galatians 6, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Don't look at it as some plot of land where this war is going to take place. God is already telling us that this battle, the greatest, deadliest battle of all time, is taking place right now in your mind and in the hearts of men. So anyway, says the archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to the servants, "Take me away, for I am badly wounded." So his servants took him out and on the chariot, and they carried carried him in the second chariot which he had, and brought him to Jerusalem, where he died and was buried in the tombs of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Josiah lost his life at the age of 39 because of one fleeting moment that he made a bad decision, and it cost him his life. You know, and we sometimes use these stories and we tell teenagers about people that had thought about becoming Christians and didn't, and they went out that night, went to a party and made some bad decisions and lost their life. Yeah, that could happen. But you know, there's the same people that come to the services week after week and year after year, and they never make the decision up. And so they let one bad decision continue to run their life for the rest of their life. Even as grown-ups, we make decisions that can affect not only ourselves, but even those around us. I will say this, if you make a bad decision, then do your best to make it right. Get over it and move on. But if you continue to make bad decisions, then you got to wonder if you want to follow the king anyway. Jeremiah, or verse 25, it says, then Jeremiah chanted a lament for Josiah. And all the male and female singers speak about Josiah and their lamentations to this day. And they made an ordinance in Israel. Behold, they are also written in the lamentations that the rest of the acts of Josiah and his deeds of devotion are written in the law of the Lord. And his acts, first to last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. I will say this. Even though Josiah made a bad decision to not listen and heed the words of Pharaoh Necho and to go to battle, it cost him his life. That's unfortunate. And we know people that have made one bad decision and it cost them their life. But with that said, today, you can make a commitment. Whether you're 8 years old, 16 years old, 20 years old, 26 years old, 39 years old, or 109 years old, you can make a commitment and begin to keep your promise today. And we may look at somebody and say, well, we know they didn't keep their promise. You're right. But don't let that affect you. You need to keep your promise. Keep your commitment that you make to the Lord. Boy, Josiah did some great things, but he did mess up. You know what? Each and every one of us here, we can do great things, and I assure you, we will mess up, and the Lord will be there to forgive us. He wants to make it so that we are reunited with him. It is said, and the rest of the acts of Josiah and his deeds of devotion as written in the law of the Lord. God remembers those good things that we did. We remember the times we mess up. But he says, your sin is as far as the east is from the west. He don't remember those things if we repent of them. He remembers our deeds of devotion to him. We encourage you to do the same today. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. John chapter 8 and verse 24, it says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. That you need to repent. Luke 13, 3 says to repent or perish. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That you need to confess Jesus Christ, Matthew 10, 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before man, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. That we need to be immersed into Jesus Christ. Mark 16, 16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. That we need to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2, 10 says, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. Each and every one of those passages of Scripture, John, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Revelation, every one of those are the words of Jesus Christ. Say you want to do what Jesus wants you to do, here's your opportunity. There's your chance. Come to him right now. Come to him today before it's eternally too late. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song?
Sing, Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say,
watch and pray.